Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to another episode, season two of Fearless Women Podcast. How are you handling yourself during these unprecedented times? It's not easy being at home, trying to make it through each day and balancing the many competing needs. Hope you can feel some connection and find some inspiration while you stay home to flatten the curve. Many of you know that my new book, Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision, was released last month. It became a bestseller in Canada the first week out. And I believe the reason is because the book celebrates women taking risks, facing down fears, and blazing a trail. These are messages that are so essential and offer the kinds of inspiration we certainly need right now. So thank you for your support in making the book a national bestseller. If you still don't have a copy and you want to send one to someone who needs that dose of inspiration, shop online at Amazon and chapters.ca. And if you have to go out, grab one at Costco. It's available right across Canada at Costco. So thank you so much for your continued support. I am so excited for another special edition episode. Thank you to Mark Sutcliffe for joining me on the show today. He is a man of many talents and has a diverse and impressive career, an award-winning broadcaster, columnist, author, blogger, podcaster, entrepreneur, volunteer, community activist. He has played a leadership role in several distinct fields throughout his 30-year career. He's also the author of four books, including The Long Road to Boston, a book that combines the history of the world's most coveted marathon with Mark's personal journey as he sought to fulfill his ultimate amateur athletic goal. We have lots to talk about. He has a wealth of knowledge, and I am so excited to have him on the show. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Janice. It's so great to talk to you. And as you know, I've admired you and all the terrific work that you have done for such a long time. And we've had a chance to work on a few things together with the Royal Ottawa Foundation for Mental Health and on some other community projects. So it's great to be with you. And congratulations on the success of your book. I'm not surprised in the least, but I'm very happy for you.
Well, thank you. And I remember going to your book launch and The Long Road to Boston, a book that a lot of people certainly have taken great inspiration from. And I know you've got other books. We're going to talk about that too. So thank you again, Mark.
My pleasure.
And thank you and welcome to our listeners from around the world, including UK, Spain, Mexico, USA, France, and so many more countries. We want our community to grow. So please tell your friends and follow us on Instagram. Thanks to our amazing sponsors, EDC, Lockheed Martin, and BDC. So, Mark, you are a broadcaster, media executive, community volunteer, community activist. You're so active. How are you surviving during these unprecedented times?
Well, it's certainly been interesting and challenging, Janice. Let me start by saying we're incredibly lucky. My wife and I and our kids are healthy and safe, and everybody in our extended family is as well. So we're grateful for that. And it hasn't affected us in the way that it has affected so many other people, either in terms of our health or from an economic perspective. So we're incredibly fortunate. We have the unusual dynamic of both my wife and I working from home, plus our kids doing their school from home. I work from home on a regular basis, so it's not unusual for me, but it is odd for me to not have the whole house to myself and to have three other people trying to work full time in this space. So that's right. Been fun and challenging. My son and I have been tackling long division together over the last couple of days in our little mini school that we're running from home. So we've had some fun with that, and we're just doing our best to make it work kind of day to day. And I've found that time moves differently now, and the days kind of blend together, and every day is sort of the same in a way. So it's difficult to tell the weekends from the weekdays, but we're managing just fine. And I'm trying to spend as much of my time as I can supporting business people who are going through some really difficult challenges right now and trying to salvage their businesses, protect their businesses, and plan for the future under some very difficult circumstances.
Oh, absolutely. And I know you're very passionate about shopping local, and that message has never been more relevant. So no teachers have been fired in your household yet?
No, we've done okay so far. There have been some tense moments, and this is not what I was trained for nor ever expected to do, but I'm trying to embrace it. And look, I know that this is... our kids are 10 and 8. I have a stepdaughter as well who's 20, but the kids who are with us day to day doing schoolwork are 10 and 8. And I'm trying to remind myself that this is a time that they're going to look back on for the rest of their lives. This is a really unusual circumstance that will leave a deep imprint on them, and they'll always remember this period of time, weeks or months, whatever it ends up being, that they were hunkered down at home with their parents. And so we got to make it as special and as happy and as productive a time as we can, even though it's also kind of tense and anxious. My daughter, just before we chatted, she was talking about how much she wanted this to be over and she wanted to see her grandparents again and that sort of thing. But we are making the best of it, playing lots of board games and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's very humbling when you think about, you know, our teachers are so remarkable, and it is not easy to run a homeschool for sure. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Mark, we both share an interest and are actively supporting mental health. And this is a challenging time for everybody as their lives are completely uprooted. And you've mentioned, while you may not have the full kind of brunt that others are, nevertheless, this is challenging for everybody to go through.
Yeah, and I think we can't overlook that. And I was disappointed when, for a short period of time, a week or two ago, the conversation became framed around, especially in the United States, around the choice between the economy and saving lives.
Yes.
Because even though I agree with all of the measures that have been put in place and understand the need for self-isolation and social distancing and 100% support all of the advisories from public health officials, at the same time, I think we have to respect the fact that while the coronavirus is a threat to human health, so is economic hardship. And so I'm not saying we need to open everything up again tomorrow. I'm just saying we need to be mindful of the fact that there is a toll that is being taken on business owners, on employees, on people, you know, who are affected most by this, people of low income levels, people who are living paycheck to paycheck. And there's a huge amount of anxiety and stress being created by these current circumstances, and the longer it goes on. And again, I'm not advocating for sending people back to work early. I defer to the public health officials on that. We just have to realize that there is an impact, and the longer it goes on, the more of a toll it will take on many of the people in our society who are already disadvantaged. This is going to further put strain on them and test them and create anxiety and stress. So we have to be mindful of that.
Absolutely. And as you know, I often take a gender lens on issues. Mm-hmm. And if we think about, it's particularly challenging for women, as we do note, women are facing a lot more of the home care challenges, et cetera, not to say exclusively. Okay, so let's talk about your TEDx talk that is very deeply moving. You talk about merit, luck, and equal opportunity. Can you share insights from that talk? I think it's very relevant in today's times.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. My talk was entitled Running Luck in the Ovarian Lottery. And you mentioned the book that I wrote about getting into the Boston Marathon, which was a personal goal of mine. And one of the things I discovered along the way as I was training for and failing to qualify for the Boston Marathon and a series of other races is just how much of a factor luck is in a lot of things in our lives. And it caused me to reflect on my life and the circumstances that led to me being born in Ottawa, Canada. My parents are both immigrants to Canada, and their backstories are very, very different. My mother grew up in China and moved to this country under very unusual circumstances. So it's really very unlikely and very lucky that I was even born in the first place. But beyond that, I have Chinese ancestry, but I am visibly a white, you know, middle-aged man. You wouldn't be able to tell that I have Chinese ancestry by looking at me. I have a British last name. And so my life has been filled with all kinds of luck and opportunity. And I know I've worked hard and that I've earned some of the things that have come my way in life, but a huge portion of it has been simply that I was born to middle-class parents who loved me and supported me, that I was male, and that I was white. And I can't overlook the fact that this is an important part of my story. I didn't accomplish all the things I've accomplished just because I worked really hard. There are people who work just as hard as I do, if not harder, who don't have the same opportunities in life. And so I have become very focused on that reality, and I try to acknowledge that as much as I can and try to do whatever I can to account for that and correct that and fight for a society that is truly more equal. Even here in Canada, a country that is incredibly wealthy, incredibly successful, and a country with incredible opportunity, and a country where the vast majority of people are focused on equality and giving everyone an even shot, we're still not equal. You know, women do not have the same opportunities as men. People who are new to the country don't have the same opportunities as people who have been here a long time. Members of visible minorities, people of color, do not have the same opportunities. There are all kinds of biases built into the system and into our structures that hold people back. And until we tackle that, and until we address that, I don't think we can truly say we have a fair and equal society. So I'm determined to talk as much about that as I can and to do whatever I can to make it so that, as I use the metaphor of a race in my talk, you know, that everybody has an equal chance when they line up at the start of a race, that there aren't some people who are starting hundreds and hundreds of meters further back just because of the circumstances of their birth.
And so as an active advocate and community volunteer, you have and continue to work tirelessly for so many different organizations. We highlighted mental health, but you have been a co-chair raising money for United Way and so many other things. How do you decide where to share your time and talents, Mark?
Well, to a large extent, if I'm honest, I think it comes down to not really saying no unless I have a good reason. So that's probably why I've ended up doing a lot of different things. And I suppose I could stand to be a little more focused in what I do and pick certain things that are in line with my values or my objectives. And I'm trying to do a little more of that. But to a large extent, when people reach out to me and say, we really need your help with this, if I think I can make a difference, I try to say yes. And I do that for a couple of reasons. One is I want to honor their request and support something that's important to other people. Secondly, I don't want to be biased about the things that I choose to get involved in. I've been super lucky in my life that certainly our family has been through its share of grief. I've lost my dad and my sister. But at the same time, I don't have a pet cause that some major thing has had a deep and profound impact on my life. So therefore, I'm going to focus all of my philanthropic fundraising and volunteer time in that space. So I'm more of a generalist and I want to support whatever I'm asked to support. And most importantly for me personally, I find these all to be great learning opportunities. So whenever I've volunteered for an organization or spent any time supporting an organization, I've learned a great deal. And so I embrace the opportunity to help and to make a difference. I'm fortunate that I'm in a position where I can do some of that. And I try not to say no if I don't have to.
So what's something you wish you knew earlier?
There's a lot of things, Janice.
Just pick one.
Yeah, I think one of the big ones is that there's a couple of things. I think I was in a big rush to grow up when I was young and get on with things. And in retrospect, I wish I'd taken more time. I think the biggest lesson, though, I think, is just that no matter what you're going through in life, and this is a great lesson for all of us in this current coronavirus context, no matter what you're going through, someone else is going through it too. And it may feel lonely and it may feel unique. It may feel at times like whatever you're experiencing, you're the first person in the world to ever go through it. We've all had those moments. But the reality is that there are lots and lots of people out there who have had similar experiences and whose experience you can benefit from. And I wish I had reached out more for help at different times in my life when I needed it, instead of trying to figure everything out on my own.
I love that. Asking for help, and so relevant right now as we feel, we're social distancing, we're physical distancing, and we can feel at times quite isolated. And yet it's such a powerful message to remember to ask for the help that you need. Take us back. What's the 10-year-old Mark? What was that guy like? What were you into? How would you describe yourself?
That's a great question, because my son is 10 right now. So it's easy to sort of look at him and make some comparisons to my life at that age. I mentioned my parents were immigrants. When I was 10, I didn't feel entirely like I fit in anywhere. So I was, one of the complicating factors in my life is that when I was skipped ahead a grade. So that meant that I was younger than everybody else in my class and shorter. So I didn't think of myself as athletic. And I didn't, I felt awkward a lot of the time. So I was a bit of a nerdy, brainy kid and not particularly good at sports. And I felt a little bit on the periphery. So at the same time, I had a happy life. My parents were loving and supportive. We had a great home life. I was developing an interest in sports at that age, in spectator sports, you know, watching baseball and hockey and that sort of thing, which led, you know, that was sort of the starting point of my career in broadcasting was covering sports. So it sort of arose out of that. And that became a common denominator for me with people that I otherwise didn't have a lot of in common with. But it was an interesting time because I think I've always felt my family was a little bit different because my parents were immigrants and weren't Canadian and didn't fully, fully connected to the rest of the community in Ottawa. We always felt like we were a little bit, we were outsiders a little bit. So it took me some time over the ensuing years to kind of become confident and to become comfortable and to feel fully a part of everything that was going on. But I managed to cross that bridge, fortunately.
Very effectively. You're so community-minded and so connected in the community. So interesting to hear that that's what the 10-year-old Mark was like.
Yeah, and very shy too, which is kind of strange for someone who ended up in broadcasting. Yeah.
So tell me about a time you were fearless. What's the last sort of fearless thing or a recent fearless thing or one that that comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple. I can tell you that, you know, doing the TEDx talk, I don't know if I was fearless. I did take a bit of a leap there because I've done a lot of public speaking, but I've never had to memorize an 18-minute speech before word for word and then deliver it from memory. That, you know, there's no teleprompter. There's no script in front of you. So that that was incredibly daunting. You know, the most obvious thing that comes to mind for me, I've done lots of things in business where you've had to take some risk and where, you know, and I've had ups and downs as everybody has in my career in broadcast, you know, the media is a tough business. So there are cycles and nobody's immune from the cost cutting pressure that the media has been under. But I think the biggest area where I was fearless was taking a big leap in my personal life and making some decisions around relationships going back now 14 or 15 years that led to me and my wife ending up in a relationship together and getting married. We were both in other relationships previous to that were not ultimately what was right for us. And that's a very difficult thing to arrive at and very difficult to make decisions about and then actually follow through on those decisions. But separately, we made those decisions in our lives and then found each other and ended up together. And, you know, that's one of the things that I hope I can pass on to my kids is that you have to be brave with those kinds of things. And if you're not happy in a particular situation, you have to find a way to either become happy or move on. And that's really a difficult thing to do when you've been in a relationship for a long time and you care about somebody. but you do have to make a leap sometimes and go out and find the right thing for you. And I'm so lucky that I did. My wife and I have a great relationship. We're best friends and support each other through everything. And I could not be happier. And that's not the path that I was on previously. So that was a big leap.
Inspiring to be fearless, right? About what you need in your life. Yeah. Not easy to do.
Yeah, and it's so complicated, right? I mean, there's so many emotions that get mixed into it, and you know, doubt and insecurity and even, you know, do you have the right to go out and look for something better in your life? Things like that, you know, that do you, can you really ask for more? And when you're already so fortunate and those kinds of things, but, you know, your family, and this is a great time to be reminded of that when you're hunkered down at home and not allowed to go out for a long period of time, there's nothing more important than your immediate family. It's easy to get distracted by work and other preoccupations, but at the heart of it, everything in your life emanates from your relationship with your spouse and your immediate family. And so that's got to be rock solid for you to be successful and happy in any way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So who, Mark, do you turn to for advice?
You know, it's interesting. I do a lot of coaching and mentoring now, and I never really had specifically a coach or mentor in my life. And that's something that if I could go back, I wish I had, in the category of asking for help, that's something I wish I'd had more of earlier in my career. But I've had lots of great relationships with people who have more experience than I do in a lot of other areas and have supported me. And so I look in a lot of places. I'm very, very lucky that, you know, being in the media business, you meet a lot of people. And so I've been fortunate to have some really good relationships with some very smart, interesting, thoughtful, caring people. You know, one that comes to mind is David Johnston, our former Governor General, who's been incredibly kind to me and is just a wonderful, wonderful, giving, caring human being who has lots of time for other people. And I haven't spent
it's so impressive, yeah, right? He's such an impressive man, yeah, in every sense of the word. Yeah.
And so I've been fortunate that I've been able to have a couple of conversations with him where I've asked for his guidance and support, and that's been great. But there are other people as well whose names you wouldn't recognize just because they're people in my sort of immediate circle who have been incredibly kind and supportive. You know, that is a really undervalued commodity in a community, right? That there are people who can offer you guidance and support based on their wisdom and experience. That's a resource that we don't tap into enough.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to, you know, that earlier point that you made that's so relevant around asking for help. You have to have the courage to be able to say, hey, can I pick your brain? I need, you know, can you give me a little bit of time as I, you know, have some questions.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to ask.
Yeah. And what's amazing, honestly, is, and I say this to my stepdaughter who's 20 and is, you know, getting ready to launch her career and was looking for a summer job a couple of months ago. And what I've found amazing in my life is even when I've reached out to total strangers and said, look, you don't know me, but here's what I'm doing. And I know you know a lot about this, and I'd love to buy you a coffee and just ask you a few questions for 20 or 30 minutes. Would you be willing to just spend a bit of time with me to help me kind of learn more about this? You know, I honestly can't think of a single time when somebody said no to that. You know, people are very generous and happy to help if the question is framed the right way and if they feel they can make a difference. You know, the appointment might be, if it's a really super busy person, it might be a couple months down the road, but most people are willing to help someone, especially younger people who are just starting out. They usually say yes to that question.
Yeah, that's been my experience too, Mark.
Yeah.
So you've written 4 books, including The Long Road to Boston that we spoke about. Are you currently working on book 5 right now?
I'm not at the moment. I'm actually helping someone else write a book right now. So I'm supporting a friend of mine who is writing a book that's going to be out sometime this year. We're hastily rewriting some portions of it to reflect the current context. But it's going to be a really interesting book about Canadian millennials and Generation Z. So I'm helping with that process. I've got a couple of ideas and I'm determined to get back to writing again for myself very soon. That's one of the reasons why I've made some decisions recently to spend a little bit less time on broadcasting, is to free up a little more time to be creative. And and so, yeah, I've got plans in that area. And I hope, writing when there's three other people in the house isn't going to happen. But when this crisis is over, I'm going to get rolling on a couple of projects.
So, of course, writing a book takes a lot of discipline. What's your strategy to move from idea to execution?
What I have typically done, I'm a spreadsheet guy and a goal guy. So what I did with the last book really is I broke it down into small pieces of the components that I wanted to write about in the book. And I made a spreadsheet where I listed them all and a rough guesstimate of how many words were going to comprise each section and a deadline of when I wanted to get that done. And then I added up, sort of an estimate on the total number of words in the book. And I basically set a goal of, I got to write, no matter what I do, I've got to write X number of words per week. And I would start the week and try to exceed that goal and carve out time to be able to do that. And I'm a little bit obsessive about goals. So once I set them, it's, I do get kind of compulsive about
going to happen.
Yeah. About following through and getting ahead. Yeah. So that I like the feeling of being ahead. I like arriving at the airport with a bit of time to spare, for example, So if my goal was to write 2,500 words a week, by the third week, I really wanted to be more at like 10,000 words than 7,500, so that I could feel ahead of the game. And that if there was a week where I got derailed for some reason, I could still be on track. So that was my strategy, and it actually worked.
Very effective. I remember when I was doing my first graduate degree, my thesis advisor, a very wise professor, said to me, "You have to make me a promise that you will write 5 pages a day."
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, no problem." But of course, the wise man that he was understood some days 5 pages is the easiest thing.
Yeah.
But he also understood some days 5 pages is gonna take you all day and into the night, and you promise, so you've got to get it done. But it was the simplicity of that, that having that the everydayness of it. But it was hard some days.
Yeah, and it's the classic sort of big goal broken down into a bunch of small goals, right? And the idea of, okay, I've got nothing right now, and in 6 months or 12 months or whatever, I'm going to have 60,000 words. That just doesn't seem realistic or possible, right? But if you break it down and you say, okay, I'm going to write X number of words per week, that's all I got to do. And then even if those words aren't perfect, you get them down, and then at least you've got something to work with, and you can go back and revise and fix and improve and drop some things and add others and whatever. But you're a lot further ahead than if you're just feeling overwhelmed by the sheer magnitude of the overall task.
Absolutely. So we know you're an avid runner. What have you learned about yourself from the sport?
Lots of things. Running has been one of the best teachers in my life, to be honest. It's, the first thing is, I mentioned to you that when I was a kid, I was small and never picked on any of the sports teams or any of that. So for me to do something athletic, like finish a marathon, was really life-changing, to be honest, because I never thought of myself as tough or strong or anything like that.
And it's impressive, Mark, for anybody to do, it's such a feat.
Yeah, it is. I also think, and this was one of the other lessons that arose from it, that almost anybody can do it if they really want to. There are people, of course, who are held back by physical disabilities or conditions, ailments, illnesses, those kinds of things. But if you're healthy, then you can run a marathon. And the big lesson for me there was that so much of what we hear these days is around get rich quick, lose weight fast, learn something new overnight. And that's not reality. The truth is, even you see somebody wins American Idol and becomes a recording star supposedly overnight, that isn't the way the most successful people or the biggest accomplishments in life happen. They happen very incrementally. And that's how you get from being somebody who can't run a marathon to somebody who can run a marathon, is you gradually increase your running week in and week out for several months until you have the stamina and endurance to complete that test. You know, you don't read a book, you don't cram for the test, you don't take a certain pill or energy drink or do 1 week of workouts. You just do the incremental things that you need to do to get to that point. So that is true of so many things. You want to learn a new language, you want to start a new business, you want to do something different in your life, you want to learn how to cook. Those things are not going to happen overnight, but you can still do them if you put in the time and achieve that incremental progress. And some of the best things in life are achieved that way. And they are the best things in life, not just because of where you end up at the end, but because of that journey that you took all along the way. I got as much value out of all of the training runs I did preparing for my first marathon as I did from crossing the finish line of that first marathon. And it is, for me, a great metaphor for life in that way.
Oh, it's so powerful. And as we think now with gyms closed and the weather hopefully turning more pleasant, that's the promise anyways of spring, isn't it? What do you want people to keep in mind as they perhaps contemplate heading out, whether it's, you know, maybe not a marathon, but as they kind of decide to change their exercise routines?
Yeah. So let me say as well, nobody has to run a marathon. You know, that's, if you don't want to, that's totally, totally fine. I'm ready to support anybody who wants to run a marathon, but I'm not going to convince anyone that they have to. Do whatever you want to do. But I am noticing a lot more people out running, and I presume me it's too. Because they can't go to the gym or they can't play hockey or whatever other sport they would normally be playing, squash or whatever. So they're probably taking to running because it is still possible under these circumstances. I would encourage everybody to take it easy. Don't be too ambitious if you're new to the sport. And if you're somebody who's run a 5 or a 10K and you're thinking about a marathon, again, get there slowly. Don't rush it. It's not going to happen overnight. And you could injure yourself if you move too quickly toward longer distances. But just embrace it and enjoy the running, because it is, if you're starting it out as a runner, the first few weeks are tough. They're not fun. But once you get into a rhythm with it, and once you overcome that initial muscle soreness that comes with doing something new that you haven't done a lot of before, it can be a very satisfying experience. It's good for the soul. It's good for mental health. It's good for physical health. You get out, you see places you wouldn't otherwise see. You get out early in the morning or as the sun is setting at night, and you breathe a little, and you have some time to yourself, some time to think. Really, the greatest benefit to me of all of it is not physical, but mental. And and so it's a great sport if you are inclined towards it.
Yeah, I love it. I'm an on again, off again runner. You know, sometimes an injury pops up and then you kind of change your strategy.
And there's nothing wrong with mixing it up and doing different things. I happen to love running, so I just keep doing that. But I know some people, they do running for a while and then they'll switch to swimming or cycling or CrossFit or whatever. That's okay too. Whatever works.
Yeah. Whatever works. But I do find in particular running is a great way for me for idea generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you do some of your best thinking when you've got that, you know, when your mind is free.
Absolutely. So final question, Mark, and this is the big one. What is your dream for Canada?
My dream for Canada is a fairer and more inclusive society than we already have. And I touched on this before when we were talking about equality of opportunity. I think we are an incredibly, incredibly inclusive society already. You know, when you look at the number of, just as one example, the number of people in Parliament who were not born in this country, who immigrated to this country as children, or even in some cases as adults. And not only have they had the opportunity to become established in our country, but they actually reached a level of integration in our society and connection with others that they are able to be elected as a member of Parliament. That's something that I've never done the analysis of this, but I presume it is very rare in the world. Normally, when a family moves to a new country, it takes a generation or two before their level of success reaches that point where they can run for office and be elected. So we're already so far along that path, but we are, I would say, good but not great. There are still limitations on too many people in our society, and we have such a great opportunity to overcome those and to be a model for the world, a place where everybody truly does have an equal opportunity. We don't have that yet. Women still don't make as much as men. They still don't have the same job opportunities as men. They're still discriminated against in so many ways. People of color, Indigenous Canadians are all still starting from further back than so many other people. And we really can't stop the job of making this an inclusive society until it truly is fair for everyone.
A beautiful dream for Canada, Mark. Thank you so much for sharing it. It's been a packed with practical wisdom conversation. I'm so grateful to have had you on the show. Thank you again. You've been listening to Mark Sutcliffe, award-winning broadcaster. He's an entrepreneur, a volunteer, and an all-around amazing guy. Thank you again, Mark Sutcliffe.
My pleasure, Janice. Thank you for what you do. You're an inspiration.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.